again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 117. This week, in honor of The Hobbit and Unexpected Journey, we are going to take a look at the Lord of the Rings franchise. But before we get there, let's get our adventurers on. We have Wesley.
You know, today I learned something very disturbing, that somehow Mrs. Doubtfire and Boba Fett are a thing online. I don't know why, this is unrelated to The Hobbit, I'm just talking about that.
I forgot who asked this, but somebody mentioned, like, why is Boba Fett such a big, in Star Wars, like, 20 minutes?
Yeah, and he's a thing with Mrs. Doubtfire now, and I don't know why.
Why get Mrs. Doubtfire?
I don't know!
Hold on. You get Mrs. Doubtfire, but you don't understand Boba Fett? What the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't understand this. People understand one part. They don't understand the other part. And if they understand the other part, they don't understand the other thing. And then Batman's involved, because it's Batman.
Well, Batman's involved in everything, just because he can't...
Batman's in all things.
He has to know these things. Insulted Mrs. Doubtfire, we have Nicholas.
Hey, yeah, I just would like you all to know how lucky you are that I'm not playing Lego Lord of the Rings while we record this, because I really want to play it right now, and I'm, like, doing really awesome in it. So you're welcome.
I allow it. You can do it if you want to. You did Dark Knight Rises during an episode recently, so...
Yeah, but that's not, like, actively controlling something. That's just on in the background. Lord of the Rings, I have to actually play it. And since I'm using a microphone that I have to hold, that would be very difficult to do.
Fair enough.
Point taken.
And we have Ashley.
And thus it was the party sat among themselves. Into their microphones they did talk, the microphones that had forged in the fires of Wolgenheim by the great warrior Fonandral in the ages of the first men, which he carved with swords of bone from the great beasts of Mothras.
Hail Mothras.
Hail Mothras.
Should I know what Mothras is?
I keep up with their Twitter feed. The only reason why I know.
Oh, I've seen their Twitter feed. I still have no idea what it is.
It's the best holiday ever.
You haven't been paying that close of attention since Mothras was created on Twitter.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So do you folks want to shed some light on it?
It's basically a celebration for this time of year when we celebrate the number of days we haven't been destroyed by kaiju. our sacred text will be coming out next summer. I believe it's called Pacific Rim.
It's a celebration of science and all of the horrible, misbegotten things it's created with its misuse.
God.
And also giant robots.
Also giant robots, and sometimes it's like ogres.
Yes, giant robots done well, not Transformers.
I support giant robots, though. I am part of the giant robot party.
I don't know anybody who doesn't support giant robots.
Well, I do. I'm the leader of the party, dang it.
I think of all the 50 trailers that came out this past 24 hours, it's the one that everybody seems to agree on the most.
Yeah, actually, that seems to be the only one anyone agreed on. It's like, Pacific Rim!
But we are not talking Pacific Rim as much as awesome as it would be to talk about that. We're not talking about Lego Lord of the Rings. I was about to say that. We're talking about Lord of the Rings. Because The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, comes out in theaters. Well, as of this recording, 4 hours when this goes up today. So, I mean, people would have seen it by then. I know Reggie's going to see that
midnight. I'm seeing it at midnight, baby. I am looking forward to it.
Okay,
I have no idea what format I'm seeing it in. My friend bought the tickets, and I really probably should have asked him what format we're seeing it in. Because I'm just, like, tossing the coin, going, well, I'll see when I get there.
Is there a general consensus out there as to what format you should see it in?
They say like the 3D ones, like the one to see it in the 48 FPS. The 3D
no.
is the one to see it in. It isn't.
No.
That's what I thought it was, but really.
Every review I've read, including the ones from my friend who saw it Tuesday night. Well, first of all, I'm anti 3D as it is,
okay.
But 48 frames per second. This is the problem they've been saying since they announced they were shooting like this. Everything looks like a soap opera. So it works really well for, like, the big sweeping shots when they're, like, you know, okay, sweeping over mountains and fields and so forth. And, you know, during some of the action scenes, it works really well. But when it's not, it looks like it makes it look all cheap. Like, yeah, it makes it look like it's obviously a set and they're obviously wearing makeup. And sometimes it looks really speed ramped and weird. Like, he's like, yeah, I don't like it at all. And it's weird that Jackson would think this was a good thing to do.
I've seen it because they have, like, somebody has posted, like, the 48 frames per second of Kingdom Troia, and, like, watching that, it looks really odd. It just kind of looks like the characters are kind of pasted on the background.
Yeah.
Stuff moves at an unnatural
interesting
speed. Everything looks like a 70s British soap opera.
it's kind of like if you have a new HDTV, some of them have that, damn, I forget what it's called, but it has that, it fixes the image, so everything looks like it's a cheap soap opera.
Yeah, it's like motion smoothing or something like
yeah
that.
Yeah.
Amnesia vision.
Yeah. And people, except, like, my friends do it, and they I guess they got used to it. Every time I go to their house, I just want to turn it off, but I don't want to disrespect it. You know, it's their house. But I'm watching it, it's like, this is a cheap soap opera. Am I the only one who's seeing this right now? It, like, ruins everything.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem with it is a lot of people are saying it's just like 3D. They'll get used to. They'll have to improve the technology. No, this is way different than 3D. The thing with 3D is it was a use of technology that filmmakers had to get used to and adjust their styles to and figure out ways to shoot it properly.
Correct.
48 frames per second is not like that. There is no technology catching up. This is all it is. It is okay. What it is right now.
So
the thing is, they have to from the ground up reconfigure all Hollywood production values and stage production facilities and the way people construct sets and costumes and makeup and everything, or not do it.
I was curious. I don't know if any.
Interesting to see how this turns out.
I was just kind of curious, like, why was 24 frames per second chosen as the standard or became the standard in Hollywood?
At the time, it was something to do with that was the most they could crank the camera, the film through the camera without things breaking. Obviously, technology far surpassed that, but they really have no need to go beyond that. And the thing is, 24 frames is like it's our eyes are used to it, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everything is built to accommodate that. It's not like, even with, like, digital video and stuff, it's still made to be 24 frames a second to the human brain. You could do any number of frames per second that you want. I mean, like, look at first-person shooters. They do, like, 60 or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because in video games, there's always a push that people want 60 frames per second because, it creates a super smooth experience for the gamer and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing is, that's not real life, though. That's a created image. It's all CG, basically.
That's why I was kind of curious about, because I didn't see the trailer until today, because I was trying to figure out which format I wanted to see it in, and I'm like, you know what, because, you know, as a gamer, it's always like 60 frames per second, you know, you think, okay, my brain's kind of adjusted, and then I seen this, and it looks so unnatural, I'm like, okay, so I guess I'm used to it for video games, because I don't expect any type of realism in that area. But once you kind of have an actual backdrop and actual character, it's a real big disconnect.
Wow. Part of me wants to see this now in the 48 frame just to kind of get, like, kind of understand this a little bit. Just to kind of go, okay.
Well, you can see the trailer, and that will give you a good idea. I mean,
okay.
I think I recommend anybody who's on the fence to check it out, because, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some people who see it, because I've seen this argument, and this sometimes happens on Twitter, is that people tend to quote-unquote prefer to see the movie as the director envisioned it. So since he created it, and I guess the 3D 48 frames a second, people are going to see it that way because that's the way it was intended to be seen. And that's kind of their justification for that. And most other people, it's like, it just looks weird.
I was hearing one person talking about the movie earlier, like, actually yesterday, actually, when they saw an advanced screening, they're like, oh god, this is awful. I'm like, oh my. Like, and it's like, it looks like the Phantom Menace.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh my!
Definitely wouldn't go that far.
I was like, it looks like, I was reading one review about it, like, whoa, interesting. And I was like, it just basically looks like very a little more, or about like interesting enough. This could be very, like, very curious to see. But then I was like watching one review of it, another review of off of. I watched a Movie Bob review on The Escapist and said that, I was like, yeah, it's good. Actually, a really good movie. Sounds like this film's either going to be, some people are going to, like, definitely, it's definitely one of those movies that some people are going to love, and there's going to be people that hate it.
As I said, there's other factors that fade here. I mean, you have the format, which is one thing. The other thing, and I guess this will be a great jumping on point for the podcast, is that the Lord of the Rings trilogy has set such a huge benchmark for trilogies in cinema that it has to live up to that anyhow. And a lot of people are going in there with off the expectations because they upped the original three movies so much. And that's, you know, it could live up to it. It may not. It seems like a lot of people are kind of saying it doesn't. Like, I don't think anybody said it's an awful movie. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, like, it's not as... A lot of the complaints I see says it's, like, slow-paced. It's kind of, like, it's not action-oriented. It's nearly 3 hours long and not much happens.
Yeah, I got a little bit of that... I got a little bit of that out of some of the, like, because it wasn't just like that. I saw like a few things going, okay, I want to see what this is gonna be like here, because I just going, can't be that bad. Because I like one review I read, it's like it was a children's bedtime story that's being kind of like it sounds like from what I was reading one review, it's like they kind of add in stuff to kind of tie it in more with the Lord of the Rings trilogy and to kind of set up the background for that to set up those movies. Because now that they've made it a trilogy, I was thinking, how are they going to pad this out for an entire trilogy? And that's what I was getting very curious in how they were going to set that up. I'm like, okay, that's how they're going to set this up, is kind of to balance out the general kind of more comedic tone of The Hobbit and play around with try to add a little bit of that Lord of the Rings grand scale sort of idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility, and that's something. I mean, The Hobbit was written before the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, exactly. It's a prologue.
But, well, I mean, like, it was written, like, you know, like, this is, it's being set up as a prequel here, but the original Hobbit comes before the Lord of the Rings trilogy, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, in Hollywood, and this, you know, goes to a lot of prequels, and this is one of the reasons they kind of hit and miss at times, is that you have ideas, but you have to also shoehorn them into what you know is coming. I said this before we started recording, I'm not a huge fan of the franchise, so I don't know enough, but I did hear that part of it was that he wrote The Hobbit, he finished the trilogy, and then he went back and tried to start rewriting some of it.
Mm-hmm.
So no. I guess they... No?
No, so how did this not go? Exactly true.
Interesting.
What happened was he wrote The Hobbit, and that was like in the 20s or something like that. It came out, it was the early 30s maybe, it came out in the 30s. J.R.R. Tolkien was an Oxford professor. On one day, on the back of a test he was grading, which was apparently very boring, he wrote, "In the hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit." And that is where he got, you know, he started writing from there. The story is very episodic and very, very much more kid-based than Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. obviously. So I think some of the people who are having problems with the movie are saying, well, it's very episodic, and things just kind of happen, and then more things happen, and it just kind of goes from place to place. Like, yeah, that's the book. That's the way it is. All the stuff they're adding into the movie that tie it into the Lord of the Rings exists in what Tolkien has written. So they're not... They're making up little bits here and there to make it connect a little bit better, like just to draw aid of the... They're drawing... Like, say Tolkien wrote A, B, and C. They're doing... E, and then Lord of the Rings is D, whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I got that all backwards. But
it makes sense enough. Yeah. I think it'll be okay.
So the connections were all there in the first place. He wrote Lord of the Rings then, and it took him years and years and years to get them done. They didn't come out till the 50s. And he went back and rewrote one little bit in The Hobbit. It was the riddle game. The end of the riddle game. And have you read The Hobbit?
No.
I haven't read The Hobbit yet. I've read a little bit of it, but it's been a long time.
Okay, well, I won't give away specifics then, but in Lord Fellowship of the Ring, they mentioned that Bilbo runs into Gollum, finds the ring, and then gets away. In the original version of The Hobbit, Gollum sends him away gladly, like, farewell, blah, blah, or whatever. So Tolkien rewrote it to be a little bit more antagonistic, because he wanted the whole Gollum-Frodo dynamic to be a little bit different in Fellowship and Two Towers and Return of the King. So that's the only bit that got rewritten.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Doesn't really change anything plot-wise, just changes a little bit of an attitude, per se. Yeah, I know a lot about Lord of the Rings and Tolkien in general. So
Yeah, you're right. This is your wheelhouse, man. But
I've read all the books at least once a year since I was six.
So what is that, 50 years now?
Shut up. I've read the books about the books. I've read the books about the writing of the books. I've read all the other Tolkien stuff. I've read his essays on Beowulf. So yeah, I've read all his stuff.
Wow.
Okay. And that's on the Ring Podcast, so we're going to call it a night.
Damn.
So I was going to let you guys talk about it, and like I'll give my opinions or whatever, but I'm not going to take the lead in this at all, because we would be here for 3 hours.
Well, I mean, somebody should. Like I said, I enjoy the movies. I haven't read the books. I like to read books based on movies that I've seen, but at the same time, I sometimes don't, because I don't want to, I don't want to be one of those people like, the book is better, the movie's better, this and that. So I try to avoid it as much as possible. I just don't read as much anymore, which is a terrible thing to do.
Yeah, I fully admit I have not read the Lord of the Rings books. I haven't. I'm sorry. Sorry. Somewhere out there is like, dang it, why haven't you read Lord of the Rings? Like, I've tried many times to read Lord of the Rings, and I can't really, for some reason, like, I get a block after that the first bit or so, and I'm like, okay. Like, one day I'm just going to sit down and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to blast out the Lord of the Rings. Because I've always meant to read it, but I always get distracted by something else, or it's like, screw it, I'll use my general, it's like, when he gets into all the details about, I know it's going to sound horrible, but all the trees, and I'm like, okay, can you go on, nope, more about the trees, okay, I know it sounds horrible, but I cannot get past that, his writing style, it's a little bit more. It's hard for me to get into it. That's about a good way of putting it.
Well, I think it extends to the movies, because I've heard not necessarily that they go in depth details in the films, but I've heard a lot of people complain about the fact that they usually say it's a 3-hour walk-in movie or something like that.
Those people are wrong, and fuck them.
It's one of those things, and we don't do world building as well anymore. A lot of the times, you just kind of thrust your main characters into adventure. And I don't want to compare it to this, but the Harry Potter books are similar. Where they do it, like, the first two books are pretty much world building.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of picks up near the end of the third and fourth and stuff before it really becomes something major. With Lord of the Rings, since it's only three books, a lot of it is world-building, and a lot of people just don't have the patience for that. They want,
I'm calling bullshit on that right now. That is bullshit. Because it's not world-building. World-building is when you give extraneous details that have nothing to do with the story. What Lord of the Rings does in both the book and in the movie is it implies these things without telling you exactly what it is. Like, they'll sing something in Elvish but not translate it, or they'll have, like, crumpled statues all over the place, and they're not going to be like, well, these are the ruins of blah, blah, blah from when blah, blah, blah happened and blah, blah, blah. No, they just let it happen. They're there. Statues are there. Some shit happened before you don't know about.
You see, I agree in this, because to me, I can be completely wrong here. I think part of world building is the fact that, there's a ton of different races, there's magic, there's all these elements in Lord of the Rings that you have to introduce the reader and the audience to, and it's not something like, oh, this magic, whatever, it's there, and people are doing it. Like, there are certain rules that you have to get. So you have to give your audience so that they know.
But there are no rules. They never explain magic at all in the movies or in the books, to be honest. Like, Tolkien was very clear on doing that. Like, he didn't want there to be like the Harry. Obviously, he didn't know about Harry Potter, but like the Harry Potter style, wizards throwing spells at each other, and this spell blocks that spell, and I'm throwing a fireball. He just wants it to be mysterious, and it's not something everybody can do. It's just a thing that's there. It's a part of the world. That is going away, obviously. That's what the movie and the books are about the shifting changes in the ages of the world.
I'm giving this, you know what? You convinced me, man. But, and that, like, probably tomorrow I'm going to give reading The Lord of the Rings another try, because I know because I like the movies. I like all of the Lord of the Rings films. I really do. It's very interesting. Like, the Lord of the Rings movies became like a tradition. Like, my dad and I, every time one would come out, it would be like, literally, well, Dad, we're going to see Lord of the Rings. Okay. Or sometimes my dad would catch me and go, hey, Wes, Lord of the Rings coming out, right? Yep, we're going to go see it. Okay. So, because one time I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, it's coming out soon. So, it's kind of like, it was like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter for a while were the two movies my dad and I saw together. So I've always meant to kind of like go back and check out the Lord of the Rings books. So now I'm like, yep, I guess I go back and to check out those books again, because I always feel like I'm missing something here.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you are not going to believe what happened. There
what
was
happened?
A big flaming Balrog thing, and I fought it, and now my clothes are all white. This is really weird.
Cool.
Are you the Fire Varnor?
I don't know, but I really do not look good in white. I don't know that this is working for me.
Did you send it back to the shadow? Did you smote its ruin upon the mountainside?
I think there was some smiting. I don't know. It's been a while since I smited.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool.
I didn't know you were Maiar. I thought you were human. Fair enough.
And with that reintroduction, I guess, Leshy's kind of mentioned it, Nick's kind of So, Ashy, what is your background of the Lord of the Rings franchise?
I read The Hobbit when I was in middle school and hated it. I never read the Lord of the Rings books. And I saw the movies and enjoyed them. But that's about it.
Okay, so you're pretty much in the same camp I am. Like, why did you see the movies if you didn't like the books?
Well, like I said, the movies took out one of my big problems, is that I know a lot of people love Tolkien as a writer. He was just so wordy. Like, it felt like I was reading three paragraphs and getting a sentence worth of information. Like, you are taking three pages to say what you could have said in a paragraph. And I know some people are into that style. And I had heard that it was a great story. I just couldn't get to the story through all the bullshit and Tom Bombadil.
Bombadil.
That thing. Bombadil. Yes. Bombadil.
Who are you to tell Tolkien what he wrote? He was a professor of philology. He knew what language was. He placed his words exactly. Who are you to tell him what to do?
I'm not telling him what to do. I'm just saying that he's going to keep reading like that. I'm not going to read his shit. And if that makes him go home and cry in a corner, good.
No, he was too British to do that. He fought in World War I. He gave no fucks.
No, and that's the thing, is that it's I cannot read it. I know some people who are huge fans of it, and I wanted to see the movies because I wanted to get the story without having to get through the words.
Fair enough.
While you were disconnected there for a bit, Ashley, I actually said that because I've tried to read the books, and I couldn't get past his writing style.
So I when you were saying, I went, son of a gun, that's why I can't hardly start reading the books, because he gets into every detail about trees. And I'm like, I can't get into this. This is terrible.
Well, and my ex was very into it. Like, he had read all of the books in the Silmarillion and every additional bit of information and knew everything about everyone.
Hey, how you doing?
We never dated.
No, I'll just say that I literally said that like 10 minutes ago.
I was smiting
something from the fiery depths. I missed that. I'm
it's
sorry.
Okay, Ashley.
Did he read Tolkien's translation of Beowulf?
Probably.
Well, without confirmation, I'm going to assume he didn't and say I win.
Nick, you win anyway. You win anyway because you are an admirable type of douchebag.
Yeah.
A douchebag.
Wait a minute. I like this at all.
Oh shit.
You carry your douchiness comes with a certain nobility about it. His douchiness was just like he wallowed his douche.
Wow.
Basically, Nick, I'm trying to call you a douchebag in the nicest possible way.
Oh my god.
Or if my knowledge intimidates all of you.
Oh shit. Damn.
Nick.
Yeah.
Danger zone.
Oh my god, did you see the live tour?
No.
They're doing an Archer live tour. This is completely unrelated to Lord of the Rings. They're doing an Archer live tour.
Holy shit.
It's on the AV Club. Hold on, I'm going to look it up right now. They're only doing 4 dates right now, but
how does that work?
They're doing, like, all the voice actors are doing it. They're going to do, like, live read-throughs of scripts and then have, like, question and answer and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Aww.
Here we go. I went farther down. Archer Live Tour. There we go. It's going to be in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Philadelphia, and New York.
Oh, nice. I know one of those faces.
I'm going to need a link to that.
All right. But yes, so that's a thing. That is happening. Right, anyway, Lord of the Rings.
We have drive down the road of Archer.
Anyway, so yes, Lord of the Rings. Earl, I have a question for you. When did you see the movies? When they were first released, or have you seen them since?
I saw them... Oh, let me see. I want to say it was 2005.
So it's my hot minute.
Well, the first time I saw them, I've seen them twice since then because I do own the DVDs, and at some point I want to upgrade to the Blu-rays. But the only reason I saw them was because my fourth college roommate was huge into it, and he was upset that I had never seen them. And this is after all 3 of them had came out. I think at the time he only had the standard edition, so that was before that whole... So I've never seen the extended edition of these things. I don't know if I could, but...
Yeah, I have.
They're good movies, but it's really, really difficult for me to dedicate that much time to a film. And I really don't like pausing a film, like watching it in chunks or something like that. So that's one of the reasons I've never really rewatched them. I've done it twice since then. It's usually around Christmas because I asked this on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. Lord of the Rings is like one of the franchises I associate with the winter Christmas season because they always came out in December, which is odd because I've actually never seen any of them in theaters. But it is the time of the year I tend to traditionally rewatch them, and I was supposed to rewatch them for this show, and my TV broke, so that's my...
That's a reason.
Like I said, I was first introduced to that, and I'm going to see The Hobbit at some point, but it's not like, oh my gosh, I need to see it. It's not like Skyfall, Avengers, or The Dark Knight Rises for me, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess we might as well start with The Fellowship of the Ring, since we haven't actually talked about the actual products yet. Nick, yes, you were a huge fan. Did you follow the production of the movie back then?
Yes, I did. Not to the extent that it's because I wasn't really on the internet that much when they first announced them, because they started filming in 99. I didn't really get on the internet until like 2000 or so, because I was behind the times. What happened was I'd heard about it, and I was like following kind of that they were making it and aware of it and being all like, OMG, the singer likes the child's a little kid, it's going to be a movie, hooray! Wait a minute, this dude did what? And then I looked up Peter Jackson's old movie and says, all right, Meet the Feebles, the fuck is Dead Alive? Holy shit. And like I watched his old movies and said, oh my god, this movie's going to be amazing. I expected like puppet fucking and, you know. I didn't know what to expect after seeing all them, because I hadn't seen Heavenly Creatures, and I didn't see it until after I saw The Lord of the Rings, actually. But that was the movie that like gives the indication, hey, he might be able to do something like with this. But so, and then they put that first trailer out for not even for Fellowship, it was for the trilogy as a whole. It was around when after episode one. When did that we put that out? It's like 2000. Where they put the first trailer out. And it blew me away with like how everything looks. It's like, oh my god, this is like what it looked like in my head when I was reading it. Oh, and yes. And then yeah, so I was super, super excited about it. And I started following once I got online, following it like on Ain't It Cool, when that was still a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it still exists, but it's
still a thing.
It's just terrible.
Yeah. That still makes it a thing. It's just not a good thing anymore.
It's just terrible now because there's other options and they're much better. So, yeah, that was the thing. I saw it at midnight. Saw all of them at midnight, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I own the extended editions as soon as they came out. I didn't do any of the marathons they've been doing every so often because I'm not insane.
I wanted to do one of those marathons, but when I found out about it, it was like a week too late or something.
We just did one at my theater last weekend. Fellowship started at 11:15. It didn't let out, I think, until midnight.
Yeah,
wow.
Maybe later. I don't remember. That was the breaks between the movies.
Yeah, I was just telling my friend about that because I was saying like it's the same amount of time that it would take to do the Avengers marathon that they did this summer, mm-hmm. and that was like six movies, and this is only three, so it's not like you don't get as many breaks in between. But I've kind of earned my lesson after I did the Dark Knight trilogy that I'm not going to do that again.
Oh, you did that too, didn't you?
Yeah, I think you know it sounds like a great idea. Oh, I'm going to watch it back to back to back and a giant screen, and then you're like, yeah, I'm watching it back to back to back in a movie theater, and as much as I love movie theaters, they're never going to be as comfortable as your home.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw them in theaters when they came out, and I have the DVDs. I don't need to go to the theater to see them now.
Yeah, do they ever give it, like, do they ever give it, like, one at a time? Like, you know, sometimes they'll bring, like, old movies and they'll show it.
They did at one point. I forget when they did that. They showed them, like, one a day. Over and over days, like a year ago, maybe? I don't remember now, but I think that was the way they did it.
Okay, because I saw Indiana Jones and I saw Dr. No this year in theaters, and that was nice. I can imagine doing a James Bond marathon in theaters, but I don't think
Yeah, we talked about that before, didn't we?
Yeah, that wouldn't be humanly possible.
That would be... Wow, that would be an experience and a half. They'd have to have just like one dedicated theater, just kind of like over a matter of days, just going a few movies this day, a few movies that day. Be done. It'd just be nuts, but it could be done.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. But yeah, you mentioned it with the director. I was kind of curious if you had any, you know, usually when these big franchise movies come out, I guess this wasn't a franchise movie at the time, but it was a beloved, you know, book series. Like, did you have any issues with any of the casting choices?
No. That's what kind of amazed me about it, is that everybody from the casting down to the costume design looks, in my head, how they looked before I saw the movie. So, like, it's not like where you see a movie and you've read a book and then the character, like with Harry Potter. When I read Harry Potter, I'm seeing the characters from the movies now because I saw the movies before I read the book. I've been reading Lord of the Rings since I was six. So I already had these characters in my head, like, looking a certain way. This is how they, you know, blah, blah, blah. The movie got them, like, fucking dead on. Like, there was, it kind of blew me away how close they stuck to what was in my head already, but still doing their own thing with it, too. So that's, from the casting standpoint, the movies are perfect.
Yay!
I guess the rest of us can't really speak to that since we haven't read the book.
Actually, you know what's weird? I've checked out like the comic version of The Hobbit, because there's an adaptation of The Hobbit they did, and I'm like, one of these days I'll check you out. Maybe I might be able to get past a comic version of The Hobbit. Like, that might help, but it's like on my list of things, because I have, like, right now I have the freaking Game of Thrones books that are on my. I just got a hold of those because they're the paperbacks, but still, Game of Thrones.
You need to read them at least up through the third book before the season starts.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to be very, very sad.
It was funny. Like I had one copy. Like, it was funny when I got all the books. My first book of Game of Thrones, it was like kind of messed up. Like, I'm buying myself a new copy of the first book because the rest of the books were in okay shape, but it's like still readable. So I got them at like a 50% off sale at my local used bookstore. So I said, okay, yep, this will work. Like,
if your copy of the third book is not stained with tears, you're reading it wrong.
Yeah. Oh my. This will be interesting then. If I get this point to a book and suddenly I see some spots where something noticeably of dry, I'm like, oh my.
I just hope it's tears, then.
I hope it's tears!
In that book, it had better be tears.
Yeah, if it's not, something's really wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, okay, people who have watched the first two seasons of the show and think George R.R. Martin is kind of a bastard, bitches don't know about George R.R. Martin being a bastard.
Yeah, y'all people ain't no shit.
No.
You got some shit coming at you, son.
Oh, I can. God.
Oh.
Taste the sad, Michael. Taste the sad.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
And actually, it's really funny because to bring it back to our actual topic, was apparently a quote from George R. Martin who said he thought Lord of the Rings would have been better if Gandalf had stayed dead.
Wow.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
But that's his philosophy about playing for keeps with his characters.
Mm-hmm. It's also, well, I don't really want to. Oh, I'd have to spoil the shit out of Game of Thrones if I say this.
Yeah.
So I won't.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that there. George R.R. Martin has not been as strict with his character staying dead as he would like everyone to think, either.
This is true.
Wow. Imagine George R.R. Martin in charge of a comic book line.
That's a whole different... That, you know.
Yeah, but now...
Wouldn't be any different than it is now. People would die and occasionally come back.
Okay.
And everything you know would be different.
Until the next time, everything.
Until they have to reboot it with a new.
because it would be George R. R. Martin now. I mean.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, I know. It worked better in my head.
We won't get into comic books right now.
We won't, because I would make another lame joke. And I've been very cheesy on Twitter today as it is, so I've hit my cheese value for the day.
Yeah. So back to Fellowship of the Ring. Well, is this Fellowship? Yeah, whatever.
First one. Yeah,
we might as well just do the wide sweep.
Yeah, we're going to do the wide sweep because it's difficult to talk about one. I don't remember each movie separately. I mean, I remember bits and pieces, but I couldn't tell you everything that happened in each of the movies because it's been a while.
It's been a bit for me because what's kind of funny is my dad, I think my dad got more into it than I did. because when the movies are on TV, if he's home, he'll just go plop, and he will be just absorbed. Like, the man is absorbed in Lord of the Rings. I'm like, he will sit down and he's just like, bam. One time he told me, he's like, yeah, like, I just blast through the entire, I'm like, wow. He got really hooked into this. Cause my dad just likes watching movies anyway, but Lord of the Rings and general fantasy films, he will just go, like, Lord of the Rings he has really liked it. And it's just so cool how, like, you can see where I get it from, don't you? When you hear about my dad, like, yeah, you can see it.
Has he seen Aragorn? And that was a finish.
No, he won't touch it. I know I can't my dad touch that movie.
What? How dare you bring that up in the podcast about Lord of the Rings? How dare you?
Wow.
Substandard Tolkien ripoff bullshit.
No.
You bring that up when you talk about Star Wars, because he basically ripped off the plot structure from that.
Well, on the price side, they never made more than one of them, because that's a multi.
That movie bombed hard, didn't it? Because I know it bombed hard.
Yeah.
It bombed. Cause I remember I was still at Best Buy at the time, and I saw those movies come in, and I remember just those things sitting, like, three people bought copies within, like, a 3-month period, and they're just sitting there, just chilling.
I can only hope that the same thing happens to the fucking Mortal Instruments movie that is supposed to come out. I would love nothing more than for that movie to bomb and for the rest of the trilogy to never be filmed. Because Cassandra Clare is a shit writer and a fucking plagiarist.
Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Good, you're better off. Because she's an awful writer and a fucking plagiarist.
I'm going to continue in this path, then.
Any other films that we want to see bomb in the immediate future?
All of them.
Even Pacific Rim.
Burn down the film industry.
Holy shit.
Burn down pop culture. Build something better from the ashes. Nostalgia is bullshit. Burns down the
movie industry.
It's going to become the first ever string of reality movies.
We're going to start a reality TV series of Nicholas Reed just wanting to burn down the movie industry.
Ah, reality's bullshit too. Fuck it.
It's going to be a God bless
burn
America.
Everything.
It'll be Nicholas Reed's God Bless America.
No, it'll be Nicholas Reed's Burn It All, Build Something Better from the Ashes. Brought to you by Ovaltine.
Hot sponsor.
That's awesome.
I believe Ovaltine would be into chaos and anarchy.
I think they would.
Chocolatey chaos and anarchy.
Ovaltine. Good for the family.
Anyhow. back to the trilogy, because we've done a great job of talking about it so far.
Rules of Nerds on the Rocks are the midpoint where we just talk about whatever pops into our head for about
10 minutes. So, I mean, like I said, it's hard to kind of break down the actual movies, but what is your favorite, I guess, plot line of all the ones that run throughout the trilogy? If that makes any sense.
I don't understand the question.
Well, you know, you have Frodo and Samwise, and then you have, what's the king, Aragorn?
Aragorn.
Aragorn.
Son of Arathorn, rightful king of Gondor.
Yeah, I don't have all that written down.
The stubbly bastard.
Neither do I. Hey, you be nice to Viggo. He's a manly man.
But, I mean,
nice to Viggo. He was stubbly.
But they do kind of split off during the Fellowship and kind of go and have these... It's like, you know, it's not distinctive because it's all tied together, but everybody is on their own mini-adventure until they meet up again at the end of Return of the King.
The end of all things. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
So, which did you folks find most interesting?
All of them. I like all of them.
That seems like a...
I never really could find, like... one specific part of the movie I enjoyed more. The experience was what I enjoyed. That entire... Because the movies, to me, they're very much an experience. There are these wide, sweeping fantasy experiences that it's like each film is, it's not like one specific point I can go, that was better than the other. Like, no, it's actually in an entire unit, they work really well together. And it's just so, I just find myself like, cause I remember every time I saw it in a theater, I was just like transfixed by the screen and just going, wow. And like wide-eyed child, I'm just going, holy crap. Or reduced to a wide-eyed child, just going, so cool. And before I knew it, movie was over. And I was like, aww, movie over. So yeah, I don't really have a specific favorite, but so freaking cool of an experience.
Okay. I was a huge fan, mostly because I enjoyed the dynamic of the Eggos and Gimli.
Yes, they were awesome.
Yeah, so I enjoyed following them, and I enjoyed following Pippin and Merry?
Yes.
Yeah. Mariada,
Brandy Buck, and Peregrine Took.
We're going to go with Pippin and Merry. Merry. So yeah, I enjoyed following them, and I also found that, at least as far as, I think it's Two Towers, they also tended, the Gimli and Negros were the more action-packed storyline. Mm-hmm. And I, like I said, I enjoyed most of it, but you know, you do still kind of want your action every now and then. And there was just a dynamic there. And it's something that actually they parodied, I don't know if they parodied it exactly, but it's kind of what they use as the basis for the Green Arrow and Batman relationship in Brave and the Bold, where they have like this frenzy competitiveness when they team up.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
I am the knight. Nobody tosses the knight.
Speaking of which, one of the best parts, well, not best part, a lot of the good parts of LEGO Lord of the Rings is there is a part built into the game that multiple times you have to lift up Gimli and throw him at things.
Okay.
And if you do it enough times, you get an achievement that says nobody tosses a dwarf.
That sounds great.
Like, that's a built-in mechanic of the game. You have to do it to advance in places. It's awesome.
That's really
Yay.
Cool.
What? So for the game, and we're just kind of bouncing back and forth, is it the entire trilogy, or
yep.
is it...
Yep. Okay. Start to finish. It's pretty great. Pretty great. And it's separated, you know, like in LEGO Batman, the first one at least, they have it separated into chapters, so like if you beat all the Riddler levels, it shows you credits, and then it brings you back to the Batcave. It's like that.
Yeah.
It's a weird amalgam of like the older LEGO games where they had like chapters and stuff like that, and then the newer ones where it's more open world. And they've added a lot of RPG elements. Like there's quests built into it, and you have to craft items at certain points. And it's really like there's a lot of shit to do in this game. It's awesome.
Dang.
And it's what, $30? $40?
I don't know. It was a gift.
Ah, fair enough.
I didn't pay for it. It was my birthday present from my mother. Because she loves me and knows what I want.
There you go. So, yeah. I honestly don't know how to take this discussion.
Lord of the Rings is awesome. I mean, you don't really have to take it anywhere.
Yeah, and that's kind of the problem when it's like...
I know we could take this discussion.
Oh, no.
We could take this discussion into Mordor.
One does not simply walk into Mordor. I still have to use that as a song title. We were on our way back from a show one night, and my friend was like, "Man, this is like driving into Fuck City." And I said, "Hold on, one does not simply walk into Fuck City." So that's going to be a song title at some point.
I like that title.
But yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of, I mean, personally, I always find issues when it's just, when it's nothing but gushing, because there's really not much to say other than it's amazing. If you haven't seen it by now, I don't know what you've been doing for the past decade. It's, you know, we've had the DVD release, we've had the extended edition release, we've had, I don't know why, well, of course money, but they did the Blu-ray, they did the normal edition first and then they did the extended
edition.
Yeah,
that's what always cracked me up about that. It's like, you're doing the Blu-ray, right?
Uh-huh.
Just do the extended editions. Don't do both.
Give
do
people
both.
The option.
We'll do like standard. And because I always remember people were like, well, this is the standard version. Yeah, the extended's not coming out yet. Well, why is this only the standard version? Because the extended's not out yet. It's like, why? It's like, ask the studio.
Well, because they know people are going to buy it to see it in Blu-ray. Because
that's what it was.
And then they're going to buy it again to see the extended edition.
It was so funny. People were like, and inevitably, yes, people did do the double dip of like, oh well, shucks, we got the standard. We might as well get the extended too. I'm like, dang. Well played, studios. Well played.
Well, people know how to treat their fans, and their fans tend to do stuff like that. It's a weird. It's a very abusive relationship sometimes. I mean, I've mentioned before, I've owned Die Another Day way too often for that reason. Are you okay over there?
I think I'm going to throw up because you just talked about Die Another Day.
Well, would you prefer we go back to talking about Aragorn?
No, that's even worse.
Okay, there you go. We're going on up.
We can talk about Willow, because they're releasing Willow on Blu-ray. We can talk about
that's
that.
That's awesome. Willow is great.
Yeah, so there you go.
Val Kilmer is awesome in it.
That is
awesome. No,
yeah,
babe, I don't want to search for things. What are you doing?
That was...
Cancel! Oh, stupid fucking Kinect.
That was my first all-nighter in college watching that movie because my friends decided it would be a good idea to start it at 2:30 in the morning, and I've never seen it. As I said, it was an interesting film, but I'm never going to do an all-nighter for a film again.
Not for that film, anyway.
I mean,
all-nighters can be brutal, period.
Yeah, I mean, usually people do it for important stuff, not to watch a movie.
Well, I played Final Fantasy VI all night one time. That was an interesting experience. I played Dragon Force on the Saturn all night one time.
I have never done
that. Dragon Force the band? You played with them?
No, Dragon Force, there was a Saturn strategy RPG called Dragon Force that they released. And I played it from morning to the afternoon, into the evening, and then right up to like 3 a.m. in the morning. I couldn't stop playing this freaking game. It was like, that's my purest moment I've ever met. Wow. I have never done anything like that since, but that was a glorious gaming experience right there.
One of the times that I was trying to make money with my writing, and a lot of the suggestions that came were, write erotica. Write and sell erotica because magazines will buy it. And I pulled an all-nighter trying to write them, figuring if I got myself tired enough, my inner editor would shut up and would just let me write this stuff because I can't do that. And I found out the problem is that when I'm sleep deprived at 4 o'clock in the morning trying to write a sex scene, the word penis is hilarious.
Oh, it is. You don't have to be up at 4 in the morning to know that.
No, but it's even funnier because then you start, like, and I had online thesauruses pulled up, thesauri, like, colorful words, and it devolved into me just giggling over the number of words you could use to replace clit. Her lower lady flower, and then I just fell out of my chair, and that was it. Her nether lips. And then I decided that I really didn't need money that badly.
Next time, try alcohol.
I did that once, too. Like, it basically comes down to... There's the episode of The Simpsons where Homer says, I can't even say the word titmouse without giggling like a schoolgirl. And that's where I end up with my writing. I'm like, I can't say that. I can't say boob.
Can't say it on TV.
Why not?
You never seen that show?
Why can't you? No, I mean boob. Why can't you say that?
No, I'm checking about, have you never seen that show before? You can't say it on TV.
Yeah, I was watching it when you were probably a baby. Oh, I'm old. Oh.
I was just gonna say, how is that? So yeah, back to Lord of the Rings again.
I hate
and another detour into the land of wherever the hell our minds go.
I want to re-listen to this and figure out like how we got to some of these topics, but
shit, us.
Yeah, but I've tried to figure out, like, we ended up on, like, we backtracked, it was talking about Royal, there was Aragorn, there was Dying of the Day.
Earl, we live in a world where right now, DC Comics is revamping Captain Carrot into Rocket Raccoon mixed with Bucky O'Hare.
Yeah, I didn't even know who Captain Carrot was until then.
God help me, I knew who Captain Carrot was, and I was dying laughing when I was like, you're kidding me. I saw the character, I went, wait, this is Rocket Raccoon? No. When I saw Captain K. Rot, I'm like, no. No, 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 no. I went, oh my God, they are. Oh my, my, my. And I, Keith Giffen, makes sense. Keith Giffen's reviving Captain Carrot. Like, oh. It's like the rest of the Zoo Crew is going to follow, and it's going to be equally hilarious. And I just want to see people going, what? It's like, oh yeah, they're a thing, and they exist.
To bring this back full circle, I don't really know how I connect these two in my head.
Go for it.
Have any of you ever seen the Lord of the Rings animated features that they did?
Yes, of course I did.
Oh, they are. Wow.
What are your thoughts on these?
They are.
I loved The Hobbit when I was a kid.
I like The Hobbit too. I actually have The Hobbit. I've seen the animated version of it. The animated version of back in the day.
I would make my dad rent out The Hobbit and The Return of the King over and over again from the video store when I was a kid. I'd always want to rent them out. I still love that song from The Return of the King because they never did that company, the Rankin Bass ones, only did The Hobbit and then Return of the King. Ralph Bakshi was supposed to do a two-film Lord of the Rings adaptation, only did the first one, didn't get the money to do the second one because it did not do well in the theaters, and it really wasn't that great.
Ralph Bakshi was insane.
Yeah, but The Return of the King had a song at the very end where he goes, Frodo of the Nine Fingers and the Ring of Doom, and I loved that song so much.
Ralph Bakshi was insane. The animation is actually, though, the animation does look good. It's that weird rotoscoping style, but it's surprisingly pretty good for the period.
Well, yeah.
How did this work out that he got the first and the last film, and the other guy got the two middle ones?
Well, it's just, they originally were supposed to do a two films for The Lord of the Rings, so it was a different guy. And it was so poorly received and cost so much that they just never bothered to do the second one and did it with, Rankin Bass did their version, for Return of the King, never bothering to do any of the other ones before it. So that happened.
Takashi wasn't cheap anyway. I mean, if you've ever seen any of his films, like if you see every film, you know, one thing, man put money into his films in that oddball rotoscoping style he did, and also Ralph Bakshi's insane. I've read an interview with him. Man's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. Like, there's an Onion AV Club book they released of one of the interviews of a Ralph Bakshi interview they did with him. I was just going, what the hell am I reading? Ralph Bakshi's nuts. Wow, no wonder his films are insane. Like, wow, it all makes sense now. It's all come full circle.
Bilbo, Bilbo, Bilbo.
Bilbo,
oh my God, I want to cover that. I want to cover that song. I've wanted to cover that song for years.
Do it.
Please. Oh, my, yes.
You do it. Fulfill
it your destiny. It's so great. Just because it's actually a really decent song. But, like, that the fact that it's Leonard Nimoy, like, speak singing it, and then it's, like, so fucking 60s, it's amazing. Like, there is no way that song could be more 60s than it is.
It's so glorious.
Unless it had, like, Ringo actually playing the drums on it or something.
I really wish it did. It would be perfect. It would just
like, you could see the mini skirts and the egg chairs in the background just listening to it.
Because it was made for, like, a TV, like a short-lived TV series that Nimoy was doing at the time. I do believe. I know it was for something short-lived that this got put on.
And that series was called Star Trek. No, I mean, what?
No. God help me, you realize I'm now searching for which TV series this was. Because I am now searching for it. Yes, Ballad of Bilbo Baggins. It was for the short-lived variety television series Malibu U. I am not kidding.
All right.
It aired on ABC back in 1967. Oh my. This is even more glorious when I realized that it came out of a series called Malibu U. I knew it was from some TV series, I just didn't know what. Until today. And that's one to grow on. No, wait, that's more you know sound, but whatever. I have learned something today.
Well, and knowing
I think guys have been saying on Twitter everyone's awesome and gonna do finger guns, so this is my brain today, guys.
You know, finger bang. It's when you make your hands look like a gun and go bang bang.
Finger bang, bang bang.
Finger bang bang, finger bang bang bang. Gonna finger bang bang,
bang,
bang
you
my life.
Cause girl, you like the finger bang and it's all right.
Wow, that's impressive.
Whoa, that's more, wow. I only knew the South Park, that when they did that South Park weird boy band called Finger Bang.
Oh yeah, that's where it comes from.
That's what we were doing.
Oh really? Okay, I only remember like part of the chorus thing, but I never remembered the rest of it. Huh. Son of a gun.
It's better than the other day when I had the Underpants song caught in my head.
Uh-oh. And we're going to work all day. We're in the underpants land. And we're going to work all day. We're in the underpants land. Like, step one, underpants. Step two, step three, money.
Profit.
Yeah, thank you.
I've used that list structure so many times for things where it's like 1, 2, 3 question marks, 4 profit.
Oh my.
Yes.
I
also appreciate that now there is, you know, step one, cut a hole in a box.
You got my dick in a box. Ooh, 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 dick in a box. Yeah.
So, yeah, at this point, we're completely off rails.
There was the extended cut of Lord of the Rings where Legolas's dick was in a box.
That was more of a metaphor, though.
It was a metaphor for his dick being in a box.
And Dick in a Box is a Christmas song, so we can tie in some weird holiday thing in this, too. Why not?
As long as they don't do a Lord of the Rings Christmas
show. I don't know! So, go for it.
But Lord of the Rings Christmas special, is that where Liv Tyler sang a song in front of all the Wookiees? And then, the dwarves celebrated Life Day.
and for some odd reason, the old man who was the... And by the way, I can't remember specific names of, like, the who's the original king before,
before Aragorn took over?
Elvis.
There was no king.
Okay, sorry.
That was the whole plot line, is that there hadn't been a king since the whole...
Okay. Who was the guy...
All the stuff with the ring originally went down, and the stewards were watching the kingdom till the king returned, and then the stewards got in at the head that they had so much power, which is where Denethor, who you're thinking of, he got in his head that he's more important than the king.
It had been a while, so I apologize if I messed up anything here. But it's like, I get this idea about he'd be the one watching the disturbing video in the Lord of the Rings holiday special.
It was really weird that Jefferson Starship showed up in Lord of the Rings. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. And for some odd reason, Bea Arthur is in here singing a happy song about not closing down her place in the Shire.
Bea Arthur is everywhere.
So now you guys are making things up.
Bea Arthur in anything.
It was Rue McClanahan.
That would actually be, Harvey Korman also made a few appearances in there. And yes, kids, we are actually explaining part of the Star Wars holiday special in this, by the way.
Oh, don't explain.
That's where Boba Fett came from, too. That was Boba Fett's first appearance, was in the animated.
Yes, it was.
Come on, guys. So, don't explain the joke. Let it just hang out there for people to go, what the hell are they talking about? And then they'll look it up and then be ruined forever.
Oh, yeah.
Let it hang out there, right? Like your dick in a box.
No, because if your dick was in a box, it would be hanging out there, wouldn't it?
Well, if you hang it out there in the
box. It would be in a box. It wouldn't be hanging out.
Well, it's out there in the box, but it's not out there beyond the box. Unless you've got, like, a really big dick, and then I think you've got a problem. Or a really small box.
You guys should look up the song Santa Got a Big Dick. Seriously, it's hysterical. I heard it on Comedy Bang Bang a bunch of times. Speaking of which, the episode of Comedy Bang Bang from last week, you should look that one up too, where it has the ghost of drunk Orson Welles. It was amazing.
Oh, Lord, I had that. Like, I had a few people, like, retweeting that on here today. I was like, okay, I need to listen to this at some point, just to know what people are talking about. It actually sounds fairly glorious.
Comedy Bang Bang is one of my favorite podcasts.
Okay. And by the way, for all of you people that wonder about Star Wars, go watch that horrible thing once. One time I did this to one of my friends. I found the Star Wars Holly special on YouTube, and I linked it to him. Next day, Wes, what? I hate you. Okay.
That seems to be a fair response.
He's like, I hate you.
I think we've gone off topic enough.
I think we covered the Star Wars Christmas special last year for Christmas.
Everybody go see The Hobbit.
Unless you don't want to. We're not going to force you.
No, I will.
I mean, what else is there to see over this weekend?
Lincoln.
Well, you don't have to go to the movies. You could, you know, stay at home and knit or
you can go Christmas shopping.
Knit one, pearl two.
Yeah, knit one, pearl two.
There's Saving Grace B. Jones, Saved to Date.
What are you talking about?
Movie's coming out this Friday.
No, they're not. That's
any
all
movie
lies.
Coming out this weekend might as well just stay. Screw it.
You go to see that. You see, it's a trick. You go to see them thinking it's going to be a quirky little indie comedy, and it's just That's My Boy starring Adam Sandler.
Wait, that was a movie this year, right?
Yeah, that's how they're taking over America, one soul at a time.
Movie in the loosest sense of the word.
That's going to show up during our end of year thing, Earl. I guarantee it.
Has anybody actually sat through it?
I didn't, because I had self-respect and sanity.
I mean,
I've watched that film, hell freaking no. I've not seen some immortals in my life.
I have to say, I don't have sanity when it comes to bad movies, and I have no interest in seeing that. I've seen a lot of bad movies, and I'm like, you know what, this is too much for me, so there's that.
No poor soul needs to hear me go start swearing more than I ever swear in like an entire like month in something on the level of immortals. Luckily, this year I haven't seen anything like immortals. So, I've got enough easy this year.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, is there anything else you folks want to say before we begin wrapping?
I'm awesome.
Anything about the movies? And the...
No. Oh, no. No, I'm pretty great.
Oh, God.
Earl, do you ever feel like you are the teacher and we are a class of horribly behaved children?
I feel like it's being more, we're the office people. Like, he's like the supervisor, and
no.
You guys are like the guys telling jokes, and I'm the person setting a bomb under his desk.
And I'm the guy who...
Get away from that bill! Get away!
Sorry, oh, God. Well, there actually, I saw a video involving explosions in The Who, back its 1967 variety show.
Oh, was that when Keith Moon set the fireworks off in his drum?
Yes! That was awesome!
He put more than he was supposed to in there, so it actually caused Pete Townsend's hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Keith Moon was insane and also great.
Keith Moon was nuts! I saw that video, I was like, oh, God, this is amazing and horrible, and there's good reason why they got banned off of every single variety show. Like, forever. Mm-hmm.
Did everybody just stop talking at once?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't even know anymore.
Phenomena.
You just close it out. Just close it out, Earl. I just put up a CD review today of this band called Mako from the UK. You guys should check them out. Well, check out the review anyway. If you check out the band or not, depends on after you've read the review what you think. I'm not going to say anything else.
He's also putting out a pretty interesting Christmas article next week. I guess we'll talk about that next week when we'll do our Christmas show.
Yeah,
I'll talk
about that in a second.
If you're into it, I just put up an article this past week about, it's more wintry sounding, but a Christmas-related video game music. It seems to be grown recently, which is nice. You know, you check out MyTunes? How do we pronounce it? Which is my? It's basically my tie.
MaiTunes.
Yeah, it's like my ties. There's that. Like I said, we'll be back next week for Christmas. I don't know what we're doing. We've done two before, and I don't really know what else we can talk about. We'll find something.
John Denver and the Muppets of Christmas together.
I feel like we've talked about the Muppets Christmas stuff before.
Not all of them. There's so many.
We've talked about, because I think we ended one year with the John Denver's Letters to My, what is that, Chris? What he does with the, anyhow. Yes, and I don't know if we'll be back the week after that. New Year's and Christmas just really makes it tough to schedule.
Yeah.
People have family in and stuff like that. After that, we'll be back in the New Year's we'll do a preview show of all the movies coming out, especially being that we got so many major choices this past week. And then we'll do our Watch This Shit Bitches Awards. I'll probably put something up to see if we need any new topics. I'm already thinking that we need a JGL award this year, since he's been in, I think, 4 or 5 movies.
Good God, he has been in a ton of movies this year.
On the bright side, he's one of the few people who I can say kind of kept it up across the board. I mean, not what I meant.
His dick was not in a box.
Well, you know, like sometimes people come up with multiple movies in a year, and some of them are just kind of iffy. I've seen Looper. I think I've heard great things about Lincoln. We've talked about The Dark Knight Rises. The only one I haven't seen is Premium Rush.
Yeah,
I'm going to be reviewing that in a week.
Really? Oh, cool.
Yeah, I get to review that and the new Resident Evil movie. So hooray.
I bet you are just chomping at the bit for that second one.
Oh, pleased as punch.
You sound
I'm actually mad. I was supposed to do review Looper, and my friend vultured it. Because the site I write for has there's a podcast associated with it, and he's one of the hosts, so he gets dibs on anything. And he swooped in at the last minute. He's like, I want to do Looper. I'm like, man, fuck you, Matt.
If you need something to hold you over until Nick gets his Resident Evil review up, it was just brought on this week at International House of Geek. I am a new blogger on their site. And one of my first stories has gone up, and it is a story about a movie called O Zombie, which is a movie about Osama bin Laden coming back as a zombie.
I'm intrigued by this.
Yeah, that is very different.
Yeah.
It's not to spoil the review for you, but like the trailer, it's far less exciting than it sounds. Like, you figure it's either going to be a horrible B movie or like ridiculous parody, and it's just kind of
It's the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter again, where it seems like it's great on premise and then it turns out to be a boring film.
Well, I only watched the trailer and I got to read, and I got pissed off because they referred to it as an eventual cult classic in the press release, and you can't do that.
They all do that, though. At one point, or another.
Stop.
Yes. Okay, so we'll be...
Did she just say stop? Okay.
NC and Fade Out will be back next week.
Not only lost my ring, you lost the finger on which it rode? Frodo, you must explain.
We have brought with us someone who has written a ballad about the adventures of Frodo. The Minstrel of Gondor.
Frodo of the Nine Fingers and the Ring of Doom. It has its beginnings 2 ages past, when Bilbo set forth to reclaim the dwarves' gold from the dragon Smaug. And while on his quest, Bilbo stumbled into a deep, dank cave.
Ah. This part I remember.
When Bilbo found that shiny ring in Gollum's cave of gloom, he never thought that it would turn into a ring of doom. The dragons Smaug, the spiders too, the goblins, the elven king, they came to know the power of the Hobbit and his ring. Frodo of the Nine Fingers and the Ring of Doom. It started with the Hobbit in Gollum's cave of gloom. The power of the ring it grew, and Gandalf sat in thought. He knew that it must be destroyed in fires where it was wrought. For if in evil hands it fell, the earth would know its end. No force of arms would win the day, no army could contend.